Open lines now for you here on Coast to Coast AM. Hey, the wonders of technology. One of the requirements of our company's insurance, of course, in order to keep the rates down, is you take an annual physical. And so I did mine about 2 weeks ago. But as I was talking to my doctor, he said, you know, there's some new innovation out there. And I said, well, tell me, what do you have? And he said, well, this is about 4 or 5 years old, but you might like this. It's called a CT coronary angiogram, and they don't cut you out or nothing like that. And I said, tell me more. And he said, well, you know, we inject you with iodine, and you know, your heartbeat's got to be at a certain rate at around 60 beats a minute, and the machine just does the rest. It's about 8 minutes long, and then we can tell you exactly what's going on with your arteries in your heart. Exactly, without having to probe. And I said, hey, you know what? Maybe this is worth it. Maybe everybody should do that. So he said, you know, minimal risks. He says, except, you know, we do have to get you down to about 60 beats a minute with your heart. I said, yeah, that's no problem. So I go today, 8 o'clock in the morning for this. Traffic in L.A. at 8 o'clock in the morning is unbelievable. I normally don't see that. And so I get to the doctor's office, and he's got all the equipment in this place. It's a big place. And so the first thing they do is they bring me a little envelope, and they said, you need to take these. There are two little pills in there. And I go, well, what are these for? And they say, well, we got to slow your heart rate down, and, you know, we got to get it around 60, maybe a little under that. And that's kind of a weird feeling. It's kind of a strange thing to know that you're taking something that can slow your heart rate down. So I popped these two pills, right? And they tested me again and said, well, we can't do the test yet because it's just, it's not slowing down enough. And it's close. We're going to have to give you one more. Now I'm beginning to freak a little bit. Now I'm saying, do I really want to take three pills that slow your heart rate down? I mean, that's all I need at this point. And the doctor says, don't worry about it. We'll get it down. So they did. And once you get down to a certain beat per minute level, around 60, in you go to this room where this CT coronary angiogram machine is. And it's like a big donut that looks almost like an MRI. And it takes 8 minutes, some little instructions there as the machine goes up and down your chest. But they inject you with the iodine to brighten you up inside. And then they put something in there that is very, very warm once they inject it. And it was weird. I mean, your body gets very hot. It was very strange. And so that was it. It was done, and I'll get the results next week. But I'm telling you, technology is amazing. Amazing indeed. If you've ever gone through any of these things, check in with us as well. Anyways, open lines. We've got lots to talk about, and we'll be back in a moment right here on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. Welcome to the open lines, and let's go to Zach in Chicago, first-time caller, to get things going. Hey, Zach, thanks for calling.
Oh, yeah. Well, thanks for finally being able to get me in. I've been trying to call in for a couple of years now, and wow. I never seem to have any good timing. So, anyway, the reason I'm calling in today is I was driving through, I'm a truck driver, and I was driving through, I think it was Western Kentucky, and out of nowhere, coming across the road, was this creature. Had to have been about 6.5, almost 7 feet tall, bent back knees, fur and scales. I have no clue what this was.
Huh.
And no one I've talked to has known what it was. Most people think I'm insane, but I know I saw it. I wasn't sleep deprived. I was just wondering if maybe you or maybe someone you've talked with in the past might know what this was.
We get a lot of strange calls, Zach, but try to describe it a little bit more for us.
It was about 6-7 feet tall. It didn't look like a primate or, you know, some type of a gorilla. It looked like nothing I've seen in any book before. It had a very broad, strong upper body, and bent back knees, kind of like what you would expect to see on like a kangaroo or, you know, some type of an animal that, you know, has, instead of like how our knees go, the opposite direction. Moved extremely fast, crossed the highway in front of me in a matter of about 1.5 seconds. And it was a 2-lane in each direction highway. The legs were scaled with like some fur or hair or something like that. And the rest of the body was the same as the legs. I was just able to see those more clearly because of my headlights.
What was the headlight? And you could you see the head?
The head was about the size of maybe a basketball, but not, you know, round like one. It had a very human-ish head. And, I mean, it moved extremely quickly and ran up this hill before I even really could comprehend what I was seeing. But, you know, I know what I saw. I saw it moving quickly. I saw the body. It had, you know, facial features. Never really looked at me, so I only got the side view of it.
Okay.
But from, you know, from what I saw, it had a normal looking head, except for it was scaly and furry.
My God, and it didn't have any wings, right?
Not that I saw, no.
And in terms of the feet, I know you're talking about the legs, but in terms of the feet, were you able to look and see those too?
It was moving far
so fast,
yeah, for me to actually get a glimpse of the feet.
And it didn't look bird-like, right?
No.
Body-wise.
Oh, no, not like any bird I've ever seen.
No, that's weird. Okay, we'll see if anybody checks it. I haven't heard anything like that, Zach. That's strange. There are a lot of strange creatures. You know, the first thing you think about is some guy is dressed up in a costume playing around, but that's not very smart. Months ago, a guy was dressed up in a Bigfoot costume, and he got hit by a car. I mean, or you're going to get shot. So I don't think that was it. Let's go to Rick, Knoxville, Tennessee. Rick, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you, and I appreciate you taking the call.
Sure thing.
Listening to you for many, many years, even when I was still in broadcasting, and you always have great shows like tonight.
Nick, and were you in broadcasting, in the Tennessee area?
No, I was on FM America out of Salt Lake while it was alive.
Oh, good for you.
And it went dark.
Yeah.
But I'll make this quick because I know how the shows work, and I will not prolong it. But I do have a respectful request for you. The lady you had on a while back recently that had the trumpets that have been heard around different places in North America.
Linda Moulton Howe.
Yes. I wish you would please have either her back on or play those recordings one of these nights for us, if you would.
Okay.
I've talked with other people who have are afraid to come forward and discuss it, but she's right on the ball, okay?
Something's going on there. A lot of people say that this is biblical prophecy. You hear those trumpets, the clock is ticking. Unlike the loud booms, you know, totally different sound. By the way, they had a earthquake in the South Carolina area today after they got blasted with all this cold and snow. I wonder if that had anything to do with it. Very possible. 4.1, I'm told. That's a pretty good size. Rob is in New York City. Hey, Rob, good morning, and welcome to the program.
Yeah, good morning, George. How you doing?
I'm fine, thank you.
You got to do a program on Project Paperclip.
Yes, another one. We've done a few, but not a full program.
So you did a program in the past?
Long time ago. But it's a great story. And tell me the angle you're looking for with this. This, of course, was bringing the Germans and Nazis over to this country after the war.
Right, exactly. Right after the war, they were placed into the military-industrial complex. They were placed into the mind sciences, MKUltra.
Joseph Farrell's probably the best for that. Maybe we'll get him back on. A double-edged sword there. On one hand, I really think by doing that, it jump-started our space program. Because we didn't have a very good one, if anything. But they helped us, they pushed, and those same scientists, by the way, that went to the Soviet Union at the time, they were responsible for getting the Soviets to get Sputnik up there before us. So, I mean, we grabbed the good ones and they grabbed the good ones, and they did that. But it's a great story. Dora is in Jersey City, New Jersey. Hello, Dora. You're on Coast to Coast.
Thank you, George. George, this happened in the 70s, early in the 70s. I rent a storage across Paramount Studio. And years later, I rent a house three blocks down. I want to be near my storage. Okay?
All right.
So a musician died. The name is Elvis Presley. He died in the 77.
That's right.
Okay? So since that day, things were wrong in my storage and things were wrong in my house, three blocks down. And a lot of things happened there. I cannot tell you about that, but I want to tell you this. I start dreaming with Presley. So I'm going to tell you one dream now.
Okay. So you were dreaming and Elvis Presley was coming into your dreams, right?
George, you know, when a famous person die, people will start knocking in the door, you know, to tell you that the person know your place and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know. You understand what I mean?
Mm-hmm. So far.
When a person die. Okay, so a lady named Paula told me that he knows about my place, the storage. That was one. Okay, the year passed. Now I dream with him. A lot of things happened. So Presley say to go next door, my neighbor, it was an old lady, old teacher.
Okay.
And he said to me, Dora, I was thinking he said Dora A, but he say Dora May. He say go to her and give her this message for her that he knows her. So when I wake up, I told my aunt, she was partial paralyzed. So I say, my aunt, about the dream, I go next door. So she say, Dora, don't go because she don't get along with you. It's an old lady and you know, she's going to think you are crazy. I say, well, I want to know about if the dream is right. So, George, I went to the lady. The lady opened the door. It's my only neighbor. So I say about the Presley dream. And later I say to her, do you understand my English? She say, of course I understand. I say, do you know who I am talking about? And George, she said to me, Dora, how I not going to know who he was? I was his teacher.
Wow.
Tell me, George. George, 1 minute,
that's
one
amazing.
Second, I want to ask you.
Sure.
Dreams have to do with dementia? Because this is very strange. How can a person can dream with him so many times?
Well, I got to tell you
that I go into
and what was
dementia.
Dora, what was this? What did Elvis want to ask her?
George, I would like to keep that now.
A little.
I would like to keep it that.
Okay. You don't want to tell anybody. Okay. I can understand that. But look, this works because maybe Elvis couldn't get to the teacher. So he had to use you. But whatever it was, it was really on his mind, I guess. Wonder what the song was that was tied into that. Who knows? Okay, we go next to Nick in Utah. Hey, Nick, welcome to the program. Welcome to the show.
Hi, George.
Hey, Nick. Good to have you.
Thank you. I love listening to your show, too. So.
Well, we like you listening.
My question is, have you heard anything about an inspector finding meat in factories for, like, McDonald's and, like, they're like finding human meat stored in the factory.
I have not heard that one. That's a myth, I think. What did you hear?
It's well, apparently there some inspector went in and looked and they did some samples and they found some human meat stored in the facilities and then it goes on to talk about, like, it's, like, happening in, like, Australia, too, and, like, all these, like, missing children and stuff. Like, there's, like in the U.S., it's, like, 250,000 missing children or something. Or
there's, like, a lot of missing kids. Missing. Now, the McDonald's story, if it's true, it's in Oklahoma City, and that's where inspectors have apparently found this. But I don't think it's a true story. I mean, I'm pretty sure it's some kind of a myth, but we'll check into that. I mean, it's worth looking into. Who knows? Who knows? Let's go to Underdog in East Texas. Hello, Underdog.
How you doing, George? I've been listening to the show for a long time. Never called in, but I think I called and talked about that.
I'm losing you, Underdog. Let's. I'm going to have Jason pick up the phone and see if we get a better connection for you. Jason, take care of that, if you would. Let's go to Steve in Toronto. Steven, go ahead.
Hi, George. This is just an honor to be talking to you. Okay. I'm a longtime listener, and Coast to Coast is so important, a show to have for everybody. And I just want to thank you and Art Bell and everyone. It's really important to us people out here.
Welcome.
And I hope you know that. I think you do. And I love Toronto.
I love Toronto.
Oh, great. Yeah, we have a wacky mayor, but hopefully he'll be gone in October here.
He might get reelected.
No, I don't believe that. The people here, we're not going to put up with that.
Okay.
Like, Toronto's a great town. There's great people here, and we're really ashamed that this guy's put such a blight on our city. He's how he got in, I don't know, but he was voted in, and we'll vote him out.
All right. We'll see that happen.
Anyways, what I wanted to say was you had your guest on, Marianne. Is that her name?
Yeah, Rosemary Ellen Guiley.
Yeah, I was hoping I could talk to her because I want to share a dream that I had 15 years ago. I'm 50 years old now, so I had this dream when I was 35, and I remember it like it was yesterday. The dream is I was at my elementary. I'm 35 when I had this dream, but I'm at my elementary school, and they're having like a flea market at the school. And there's all these like tents and there's vendors and everything set up, and I'm walking around and I'm by myself and everything's kind of in slow motion, and the people that were selling stuff at the tents were all kind of like business people, and I noticed like after I would talk with them, they'd try to sell me all this stuff, right? And after I would talk with them, I noticed I'd go to the next tent and I'd notice that the people at the tent I was just talking at, they were like talking about me behind my back, and like they were like they were talking amongst themselves, and I noticed this kept happening from each tent, and finally it got to a point where like everybody except for myself was like looking, everyone was looking at me at this flea market, and everyone was like giving me, and all of a sudden their faces and everyone started turning into like really like demonic type of people. And so I walked. I couldn't walk fast. You know, in dreams, when you try to run and you can't.
No, those are the worst. It almost sounds demonic. Hold on, Steve. We'll finish up your story when we come right back. Hey, it's time for our shout out to those of you who listen to the program Coast to Coast on 570 radio stations across North America. Thank you so much, Coast Insiders. Hello to you, and thank you. By the way, I had a fun chat with you on Tuesday. That was fascinating. Sirius XM, Indie Channel 104. And then the various chat rooms, Into Infinity. Hi there. Fantastic Forum 2. Imaginative World, Sorcery IRC. Those who follow us on Facebook and Twitter, you can do that by going up to the coasttocoastam.com website. Omega Point Chronicles Group, the Yahoo Chat, the SoCal UFO Meetup Group, the Hollywood Ghost Hunters, and our quiet friend, Greg the Cook in St. Louis. Thanks for supporting Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, and let's go right back to Steve in Toronto. Steve, so give us a little refresher here. These demons are coming at you now, huh?
Yeah. I'm at my elementary school. I'm at the flea market. I had interacted with like some people that were like businessmen type of people, that which is kind of odd that they were under, you know, like people with ties and suits and stuff. And they were talking about me and they were being like evil. I started in the beginning of the dream, I didn't sense this evil, but then I started sensing like everything turning, and so they're all talking about me, and they're all like conspiring against me, and I'm like walking backwards kind of and noticing that they're all starting to look at me, and their faces start like turning like demonic and weird and everything. And then I want to run, right? And it's that typical where you can't run. So everything's kind of like in slow motion.
Yeah.
And I go, and I'm like, I'm backing up like onto this little like grassy hill. And it's this is like in the daytime. I can picture it like it happened yesterday, this dream. And I'm backing up, and it's the daytime. And then I, in slow motion, I turn around, and I backed up this hill. And as I turn around, all of a sudden I'm like looking out over this vast, grand, like terrible sight of like, I guess you would call it hell. I could see mountains and volcanoes and rivers, and it's so deep and far back, and it like goes on forever. And I'm like, and it seemed like I'm sitting there like and it was so real. And I'm like, and I was in shock. Right. And I'm looking at this. And then, so then like all of a sudden I just get zapped out of that scenario. And next thing you know, I'm still in the dream, but I get zapped into another part. Like I'm in this bathtub with no water in it, in this old house, like in the middle of the forest somewhere, like some old house, and it's daytime again. And I'm like, I'm like scrunched up. I got my knees up to my chest, and I'm in this bathtub. I'm like on the second or third floor of this house. I know I'm alone in the house, and I can see like, and I don't want to look up. I got my head down, and I'm like frightened to death, right? And I don't want to look at anything, but I can sense something's like coming towards me, like from out in the forest out there. Like it's similar, I guess, but much scarier than if you remember the movie Ghost, when the shadows.
Oh yeah. I saw that.
That guy.
This sounds like a nightmare of biblical proportions that you had. So, you got to be careful with those kinds of dreams. Few more callers to go here. Henry in St. Louis, first-time caller. Henry, welcome to the show.
Hi, George. Always a good show.
Thank you, Henry.
The CAT scan that you had done, I had to have that done when I was 17 years old. I was real active in sports in school and fell out, and my mom wanted to know what was going on. My question to you is, when you had that procedure done, did you have to sign the document to give them permission to do it?
Yes, I sure did. It was like a book.
Yeah, my mom did too. And when you mentioned about you were getting a warm feeling, did they explain to you what that warm feeling was from?
You know, they simply said, we're going to inject you with something and you're going to feel very, very warm. Don't panic. And I got to tell you, I felt like somebody had a match under me. It was
hot.
I'm
going to tell you why you got hot. Because the doctors did explain to us what that is. They injected you with a radioactive dye. And, you know, pretty much, like I say, I'm 43 years old now, so I didn't notice anything. I didn't have any bad health issues later on. But, like, my wife, I mean, we mentioned over the last 3 years or whatever, like on the calves of my legs where hair, you know, where the hair grows at.
Yeah.
I noticed there are certain spots there where there's hair missing. And sometimes my wife, she'll say, oh, you shaved your legs. I said, you got to be kidding. I said, I don't shave my legs. But, I mean, it's so smooth. It's like hair never grew there. But that warm feeling that you got, yeah, they inject you with a radioactive dye. And I had a chance to read up on that. I don't know. You may want to go ahead and do a little researching for yourself. I know you're pretty knowledgeable about stuff. Go ahead and research about that, and I'll get back with you to find out what you had read, because some of the stuff I read, it's gonna blow your mind when you read it.
Oh, man. That's just what I need, huh?
I know it. Yeah, I know. When I heard you mention it tonight, I said, oh, boy. You know, I had another friend that had it done that was in the military, and he pretty much said the same thing, too, when he went online and had a chance to find out exactly, you know, about the dye and everything. Yeah, but it's a radioactive dye. Yep.
I'm getting on a plane tomorrow, Henry. I'll probably light up the TSA scanner.
Well, you know, it's not going to give you that type of an essence, but they have had some issues with it in the past and stuff like that. So, like I said, I'll just check in with you from time to time. Just, you know, follow up. Great show.
I'll check it out. I mean, I felt okay afterward. They tell you to drink a lot of water, and I did. And look, you know, it's worth it. When you get to be a certain age, you want to know what's inside of you. And, you know, you want to check these things out. It's like a car. You know, don't bring your car to the shop after it breaks down. Bring it before it breaks down. Do that preventative maintenance. Your body's the same way. So, you know, everybody at a certain age, I think, should do something like that just so they check it out. You know, I was telling you, my mom yesterday was going in for a stent. She's the lady's 84 years old. And the doctor says, we think it's 70% blocked, and that means you qualify for a stent. We got to get this done. And she said, well, okay. And so one of my sisters was there, and my brother-in-law was there, and my sister's boyfriend was there. I have two sisters, by the way. She doesn't have a boyfriend and a husband. She's got just a, you know him, Coach Bob. He's going to be on the show. He's the life coach. But after they did the angiogram on her, they said, hey, this is only 40% blocked. You don't need a stent, not especially at your age. And so, you know, she's home now. She's fine. And she didn't have to go through the procedure. But I think when you get to a certain age, you got to do certain things. And this is what's called a CT coronary angiogram. And I'll see what the results are. You know what? I feel fine, but you never know. Let's go to Bonnie in Perumptavetta. Hey, Bonnie.
Hi, George. Thank you for taking my call.
You are welcome.
I'm calling tonight because I heard the guy call in about McDonald's and about there possibly being some human meat and that. And it reminded me of something that happened that I encountered last year that I wanted to reach out to your listeners and find out if anyone can have the courage to maybe find out what more about what happened, that anybody that lives in Arizona, because this happened in Arizona. So I'm going to just tell you this story here briefly. Last year I was driving on the 405. I was just driving. I'd had a bad experience and I was headed down the 405, just traveling that direction. And I ended up on the 10 and I was driving because my phone had been hacked and I'd had some bad experiences at the house, and I just felt like I was being followed. And so I threw my smartphone out on the 405 just because I was a new phone, and I felt like maybe that's the way that they were tracking me.
Sure.
So I'm just driving, trying to gather my thoughts, and I ended up on the 10. And it was way in the night, and I was in Arizona. And I stopped at a gas station. It was about 2 in the morning. And when I did, as I was going to leave the gas station, something told me to take a left rather than to get back on the highway. And I thought, well, you know, typically when I'm, you know, throughout the day, I often will pray and I'll ask for guidance about where, you know, what to do next. And certainly, you know, I needed it at that time because I was really struggling. So, you know, I thought, well, okay, I'll go ahead and take this turn, even though it was leading me into just nothing but field. I mean, there was just nothing in that direction except a two-lane street. So I started down on it. And as I was driving down, I saw a sign that said Vicksburg Heating and Air.
Okay.
And then I began to smell something that I can't even describe. It was the smell of death. I mean, just death. There is just no other way to describe it but death. You know, it was like being maybe near Auschwitz or something.
Sure. You knew. You could just
sense that. And I mean, it was dark. It's 2:30 in the morning. I'm driving a 2010 Lexus, and I'm on this little two-lane road, and I am scared. You know, I'm thinking, what is going on? And I can hear something in the distance. It sounds like a conveyor belt. It sounds like a chunk, 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 chunk. And I look off to the left and I see what is a conveyor belt. And there's something on it. Okay.
What's on?
Moving. Like bodies. And I don't know whether they're, I don't know what, but it's moving. And it's 2:30 in the morning. And I'm thinking, okay, what is going on? And I'm trying to you know, just not look. I mean, I'm trying to look, but I'm trying to keep my composure. And there's something beyond the belt that is, it looks like a flame, like just a flame that's churning in circles. It's kind of just up in the air a little bit, but it's just churning. And I'm thinking, is that a furnace? You know, I can't tell. It's really late.
It's like the conveyor belt you think was taking these bodies into the furnace, just plopping them in there.
Or yes. Yeah. And so, and then out of nowhere come all these 18 wheelers. I mean, they are just barreling like they have come from hell. And I mean, they're flying past me, you know, and I am so scared, you know, I don't know what is going on, but we're really in the middle of nowhere. And where do these 18 wheelers come from? And why are they flying out of here? Like they are wanting to get going.
Like they were bringing something in and out they went.
Out they went. Exactly.
Jeez.
And, you know, I tell you, I mean, there must have been probably 8 to 10, and they flew by me like they almost ran me off the road. And I thought, you know, I don't know what they, but then it was sometime after that I began hearing about how there, in fact, an 18-wheeler had wrecked in New York, and they found that it was full of horses.
Horsemen, yeah.
Possibly, but I tell you what, I have a really bad feeling about it, you know, and I know I whatever they were doing, they certainly didn't want anybody to see.
You're lucky you got out of there with your neck, Bonnie.
You know what? You can't imagine how scared I was. And I mean, these 18-wheelers, I was thinking, my gosh, here I am in this little car. I don't have a gun. I'm they're just huge, and they wanted the heck out of there. Whatever they were doing, they didn't want anybody to know. They didn't want to be, you know, they wanted to be out of there.
So you don't know, though, if these bodies were human, animal?
I don't. That's why I'm reaching out to your people, because whatever is going on there, and I want to say this, as I continue to drive, there was a town called Friendship, Arizona. So this kind of can give people out there an idea of where I was, because I don't live in Arizona. You know, back then I lived in Valencia. I lived there for 10 years, and then I moved out to Nevada. But I don't know Arizona. And I just, like I said, I was driving because I was very shaken. You know, I had, you know, like I said, my phone had been hacked. I for some time I had been feeling like I'd been followed, and I just wanted to get the heck out of where I was at that time. And I was just trying to gather myself. And so I'm just driving, which is not something that I've really ever done like that. But I was, you know, just not, you know, I was just trying to just gather myself. And
right.
I end up in this situation. And I just, you know, hope that maybe somebody out there will know this area and maybe be able to call in and kind of enlighten as to what they're doing and, you know, what's going on. And hopefully I just can't imagine it's anything good.
Well, I got to tell you, Bonnie, a lot of stranger things have happened in terms of the fast food and human meat. I'm going to say that I'm pretty sure it's a hoax. I'm not a fan of fast food, but I think this one's a hoax. One of the reasons why I think that just one very obscure website says this. And I don't see it picked up by anybody else. And then there's some old videos on YouTube as if this thing has just been a hoax for all these years. That's my take on that. But as far as you're concerned, Bonnie, that's weird. Something very strange was going on there. We go now to Seattle, Washington. Hey, Chris, thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Hey, George. I was just calling about... I've had some past life experiences and have some past life memories, and was wondering what you would think if everyone knew that we lived multiple lives and could carry some of that knowledge from life to life, how that would change the world.
Well, first of all, I don't know if they've ever done a survey on reincarnation, but I think that's growing in popularity. More and more people are probably accepting the possibility that the reincarnation is real and exists. And in terms of the carryover from a past life into your current life, I think that happens. Sometimes we're not aware of it, but I think it drives us and it pushes us. So that's very possible too. I'm a believer in reincarnation. I'm a believer in a higher power too. We go now to Carl in Greenville, South Carolina. How's the weather your way, Carl?
Well, George, it's I still got a little bit of snow out of my front yard. Most of the people around here can't drive on it. Shoot, they can't drive in the rain, much less on
Oh, no, I know that. I know that.
Anyway, the reason I called, and by the way, I had the same procedure that you had about 6 months ago.
How was yours? Everything okay?
Oh, yeah, I'm still kicking, so.
Good.
It does make you hot.
It does. It's strange.
Now, I called about a year ago, and the reason I've been trying to call is I'm coming up upon this anniversary, so to speak, at the beginning of March. You ever seen the movie Sling Blade?
I sure have.
You know the bridge he was standing on?
I have.
Okay. That was the river I was on. My wife had carried me to Arkansas, and my intent was to leave from there in Bentonville, Arkansas, and I was going to go all the way to the ocean in my canoe, which unfortunately didn't work out. But I had made about 30-something miles down the river, and I came to a bottleneck. There was a big bunch of trees, you know, that were clogged up the river. So I had to get out of my canoe, and I'm like, oh, okay, I'm going to have to unload the canoe. I'm going to have to get around this. So I start doing it. But just as soon as I stepped out of the canoe, you know what a kaleidoscope looks like?
I sure do.
Okay. This huge circle in front of me suddenly appeared.
You're going to have to finish that one up when we come right back. Don't touch your dial.